But you pray for us this morning that we'd be able to do exactly what the Lord have us to do. Certainly we want to preach, like I said, exactly what the Lord wants done this morning. So you pray for us. 1 John chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll probably read the whole chapter right here, which is not very long, and may read into some of chapter 2. But verse number 1, the scripture read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was of the Father and which was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." I'm going to read just a few right here in chapter 2. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." We believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in your hearing this morning. And we pray that God richly add his blessing to the reading of his word. If we had a thought this morning, what I want to preach on is penalty, power, and presence. Penalty, power, and presence. Those are the three forms of salvation. Amen. Penalty, power, and presence. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin, and soon one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. I want to do, with God's help, I want to do the best I can to relate this morning, but here we see that the book of 1 John right here, in the first verse of the first chapter, it says, "This which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." And of course, he is relating directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." And of course, we talked about last Sunday as we read over there in John chapter 6. You read over just a few verses, and we talked about it. I know I quoted it, but I'll try and keep this short and condensed. But Jesus looked to Peter essentially one time, and he said, "Peter, will you also go away?" Because the Lord had spoke a hard saying. And he said, because he had spoke a hard saying, many of the people which followed him turned and went away. They left. And Jesus looked, and he said, "Peter, do you also go away?" He said, "Lord, to whom else would we go? For thou hast the words of life." And John was in this fellowship as the disciples followed after Christ. And so we see that Jesus revealed himself to them. Amen. And even though they didn't really truly fully grasp and understand who they were with until after the resurrection. You know, the Bible says that on the road to Emmaus that he spoke with two disciples. And after he disappeared from their midst, the Bible said that they spoke to one another. Said, did our hearts not burn within us as he spoke with us? And so what I'm saying to you friends this morning is everything that we hear, we don't necessarily understand at that moment, but I believe that God will reveal it to us in days to come. That's why we need to study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, he said study to show thyself approved unto God, that you may be able to prove yourself a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. That's why we study the word of God. That's why we pray over the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, affliction for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we study. That's why we pray. Amen. Listen, often we open the Word of God and we need God to speak to us immediately. And we say, God, why can't I find the answers? And but there's been a lot of times in my life, I'm glad over the days when things were good that I studied the Word of God, because when things got bad, that's when the Word of God prevailed itself and manifested itself in my heart and in my mind. Amen. That's why we need to soak ourselves with the Word of God. Amen. Because it is the Word. Amen. It speaks to us and it gives us life. And so John is speaking to us right here. And he said, I've seen these things. I've held them with my hands. I've heard with my ears. And I understand the Word of life. He said, for this life, and I keep this short as possible to get where I'm going, but the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show that that unto you, that eternal life which was of the Father and was manifested unto us. That's what we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This then, this is where we're going. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. And so the Bible tells us, and we go back to the book of Genesis. Amen. The Bible says that when God formed and He created the void of darkness that was, He said into the darkness, He said, let there be light. Amen. And there was light. So Jesus, the Bible tells us, we can go over to St. John chapter number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him, there was nothing made that is made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. Amen. The light shined in the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of that light, for he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world received him not, but as many as received him, to them to give you power to become the sons of God. Amen. The Bible said, listen now, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends, today. The Word of God manifests itself. And listen, He shows Himself. He is the light of the world. Amen. That's why the little kids, they sing this song. Are you gonna light your candle and stick it under the bushel? Amen. Because He said, as I am the light of the world, now ye are the light of the world. Go ye out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. There's so many people today, listen. They have this misconception of the Word of God. And, listen, that well, preacher, he's speaking directly to Silver City Church. And I believe that he is, in essence. But listen, he's speaking to every church worldwide. Amen. He's speaking to the gospel which he has lived and died for. Amen. He is the gospel. Listen, because of the gospel, he wants people to respond to the gospel. Amen. There's one thing about the gospel. Amen. You will respond to it with a yes or with a no. Amen. You have to respond to the gospel. It requires a response. Whether you do anything with it or whether you don't, it always requires a response. Amen. So I want you to think about that as we come into the church house every Sunday morning and as we leave. Listen, I'm not saying that you need to listen to me, but I want you to listen to the Word of God. If the Word of God challenges us, if the Word of God, challenges our livelihood, if the Word of God challenges our convictions, if the Word of God challenges us in any direction or any light of our life, listen, we need to be able at a point in our lives to subjectively say that the Word of God is greater than I am. God, forgive me. I repent of my errors. Lead me in the way which will lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Listen, we don't need to be so hung up and caught in our traditions. Amen. Because I want to say this. And now listen, there's a lot of people going to take offense to this comment. But I want you to understand something. We don't worship the church. We worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. The church is the body of believers that spreads the gospel. Amen. And we need to keep those things in context and in mind. Friends, listen to me. We need to listen. The Bible tells us The Bible tells us to go ye out. Go ye out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Amen. But listen, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to come in, but we don't want to go out. Amen. Boy, y'all, tough crowd today. But the Bible requires of us that we go out to get them first. If we don't ever go out, then listen, and I'm glad that we do. We have service Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday. But listen, friends, if we keep coming in but we never go out, then the gospel message never penetrates the heart of those who need to hear it. Amen. So listen, friends, listen, we've got to get the gospel out to get them in. Amen. Listen, I tell you, I appreciate what Silver City Church does, and I thank God for their involvement in the community. Amen. Listen, I am proud to be associated with a church who shares the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. I've said for many years now, I believe that we are selling the best thing around. Amen. I believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the best thing anybody, any place, anywhere could ever hear about. Amen. But listen, it doesn't just end on Sunday mornings. Amen. We've got to take, listen, we as Silver City Church, listen, if we want to be a strength in this community, we've got to take the gospel into our homes. Amen. And when we take the gospel into our homes, and when the gospel, and I'll get to this in just a minute, when the gospel becomes a foundational point of our homes. Amen. Listen, when we build our home on the foundation of the gospel. Amen. Listen, I preach. Listen, for the last 13 or 14 years, I've stood every Sunday morning and I've preached. And for the last 8 years of his life, as my son's been born, listen, he's heard me preach just about every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Or listen, during revivals, no telling how many times. But listen, you know what's the most precious thing to me? Listen, is not when we're sitting in church together, but I love and I cherish those moments. The most precious thing to me is, I thought about it Wednesday night as me and him sat in my chair and we opened the Word of God and he began to ask me questions about the Word of God. Those are the most precious times of my life. Amen. Because, listen, the gospel is not just something that we do. The gospel is something that we live. Amen. The gospel is a lifestyle. Amen. It's not a pair of shoes that we put on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. But we have to choose to live that lifestyle. I preached a message during revival a couple weeks ago. I didn't know if I'd even mention it this morning. But I preached on Adam and Eve. And my text was this. Our lives are not a product of circumstances, but we are a product of choice. Amen. We are not a product of circumstance. You understand what I'm saying by that? Preacher, what are you pointing to? Well, this is the way I was raised, and I grew up in an alcoholic home, and I grew up in an ungodly home, and I grew up in this, and I grew up in a divorced home, and I grew up in an ungodly home, and listen, a lot of people say, well, preacher, you are just pointing out what people, what I'm saying is this, we are not a product of our circumstances, we are a product of our choices and decisions that we make on a daily basis. Amen. Listen, God, He don't matter the circumstances that we are brought up in. What God wants from us is our choices. Amen. Salvation, the Bible says in the book of Joshua, it said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Listen, it is a choice. God told Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of, for in the day that you do, thou shalt surely die. Amen. Listen, what was he telling them? You have a choice. Sin is a choice. Listen, hey, I want you to look at me in the eyes, amen, because I'm going to preach to you for just a minute. When you wake up in the morning, listen, to love your wife, love your children, love your family, go to your job, be the husband, the wife, the parent that you are to be is a choice. Amen. They don't nobody make you do that. It's a choice. choose wisely. Amen. We're not a product of our circumstance. I've done that for a lot of years in my life. I really did. I played that card with my mama. Well, I ain't got a daddy at home. Amen. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. I'm being honest with you this morning. Through my teenage years, I got away with a lot of things and got into a lot of sin because I wanted to blame my circumstances. I'm going to tell you what, God brought me down to my knees as a 19-year-old boy at Chesapeake Baptist Church, amen, and he showed me right quick that I wasn't a product of my circumstances. I was a product of my choices, and my choice that day was to choose to serve the Lord, amen. I'm going to tell you something, friends, listen, the prodigal son, I thought I might preach on this morning. You may just have to file this one in the notebook, but listen. The prodigal son, friends, listen, the Bible says when he came, listen, he went to his father. He said, Father, give me the inheritance that is due and owed to me. So his father gave him the inheritance that was due him. The Bible said he went to faraway country. He spent all his inheritance on riotous living, the Bible said. He exhausted all of his wealth, all of his friendship, all of his fellowship, all of his society. Listen, why? Because of his choices. Amen. The Bible said that he was in the hog pen, slopping the hogs, and he said, I know what I'll do. The Bible said he finally came to himself. He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father's house. He said, for the servants in my father's house have more than I. Choice. He had a choice. He could have lived in his circumstances, but he chose to change his circumstances. You see what I'm saying? God gives us a choice. Amen. Ain't you glad that we serve a God of choice? That's why we are free mortal beings. Amen. That's why I don't believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. That's why I'm not a predestinationist. Friends, listen, there's a lot of doctrine we can throw in this, but God is a God of this choice. Amen. Listen, he gives us free mortal choice in every walk and aspect of our lives. And the Bible says that the prodigal son, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll rise. I'll go to my father's house. The Bible said that he said on his way, he went to his father's house. The father came out to meet him. Amen. Ain't you glad that we have a forgiving God? Amen. Listen to me. I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, the day that I got myself right with God as a 19-year-old boy, listen, as I stood before God, listen, I stood before him as shameful as I ever had. I didn't know if I'd been saved or when I was saved. And you've heard my testimony. But listen, when I finally got things right with God that day, I'm telling you, it was almost as good as the first time when I got back home the second time. Amen. I'm telling you something, friend, but listen. Now the Bible says that the father went out to meet him. Ain't you glad that we have a forgiving father? Listen, we can take this from verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. But it requires a choice on our part to choose to seek repentance. The church needs repentance today. Listen. I want you to look at me. Listen, there's a lot of people in the church house that are sorry. Amen. I'm not talking about sorry individuals. We're sorry. God, I'm sorry. But you know why we're sorry? Because we got caught. Amen. Listen, I got my tail tore up more times than I can count because I got caught, not because I was repentant for what I had done. Amen. The only thing it taught me is, listen, if you're going to do it again, don't get caught. Amen. What I'm telling you, friends, this morning, we have a bunch of people in the church that they are sorry that they got caught, but they are not repentant in their heart. Amen. And repentance leads to fruit of righteousness. Righteousness breeds sanctification. Sanctification ultimately breeds glorification. Amen. So if we seek the fruits that follow repentance instead of being sorry, we'll find ourselves drawing closer to God. The Bible says that with a repentant heart, the prodigal son, he went home. The father came out to meet him. When he came out to meet him, he said, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, clothe him, and put shoes on his feet. He said, go hither, kill the fatted calf. He said, for my son, which was lost, has now come back home. Amen. And we see the glorious picture of that right there. Amen. But listen, this is the rest of the story that we often forget. The Bible says that the other son. Amen. Now, this is where I'm going to preach to the church for just a minute. And you take this kindly, because this is the way most of the church acts. Amen. We sit in our pews and we wear our good church clothes and we kick our heads up where we can't see all the sin that's going on underneath our nose. Amen. Because they don't look like us, they don't dress like us, they don't act like us, they don't talk like us. Amen, we don't have nothing to do with them because we're the other side. Amen, we're the ones that never left. Amen, we're the good church folks. But I'm going to tell you what. I've told this ever since I've been pastoring, and there's a lot of people laughed at me for this. The sweetest, kindest, most loving, gentle, godly people I've ever met in my entire life, and God loved their souls because they have been just wonderful to me and my family. Listen, they've been great prayer warriors, and that's good church folks. Amen. I'm telling you, good church folks, as good as they can come. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. The meanest, downright, despicable, backbitingest, listen, heart-stabbing people I've ever been around in my life is good church folks. Amen, preacher. I'm telling you something. Because we've got one side and we've got the other. And the other son, the Bible says the other son, when he came home, when he came in out of the field, he said, what's going on in here? And the servants came out to him, and listen, he was so mad he wouldn't even go in. He wouldn't even go in to see his brother that had been gone and thankfully had come back home. He didn't care about that. He had a jealous, envious heart because his father gave him the goodness of the house, and he was mad. And finally, the Bible said, listen, and this is a lot of the church folks, they get this way, amen? Well, why is God blessing him, and why is God doing this? And listen, I've always been here, and I've always done that. But if we would just open our hearts, we could rejoice in the gospel going out and sinners coming in. Amen. And the father, finally, he went out to the other son. He said, Father, why did you give him all this? He said, you gave him all of his inheritance. He spent it all. He wasted it all. And he said, son, don't you understand? He said, you had it the whole time. All you had to do is take advantage of it. Amen. Quit complaining about what somebody else has got and look what God has given you. Amen. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? Friends, listen to me this morning. There's a lot of things in this life, a whole lot worse than death. You go to the nursing homes. You go to the hospitals. You ride down here to Scottish Rite, and you see the little children that's suffering from cancer and leukemia and all the things that, listen, that they ain't in our house. Boy, we complain. And we complain and we murmur and we backbite because God is doing this for other ones and God's doing this for others. I want us to look in our own house and see just how blessed we are. Amen. When we quit looking about how much better everybody else has it, and when we look inside our own house and we see the health of our family and we see the health and the love and the relationships that we have within our family and we see our precious children that God has blessed us with, we may not have a whole lot of money, but there's a whole lot of love. Amen. And where there's a whole lot of love, there's a whole lot of Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, I'm glad this morning that God blesses us in spite of our sin. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy, listen, he said over there in the third chapter, he said, this know also that the last days perilous times shall come. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents. The Bible says that they shall be truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, unthankful, unholy, despisers of that which is good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. What is the church turned into? Are we distinguishable from the world? Have you ever stopped to just think about it for a minute? Do we stand out? When we get in a crowd, somebody say there's something different about you. Or do you just blend in? The Bible says in 1 Peter, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. That you should show forth your praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. So my question to you friends this morning is, and I may get back to this right here, the text this morning. And I apologize for jumping ship on the text. I really do. But friends, this morning, do we live a life that is distinguishable from the world? Or we just blend in? Because too many people today, and listen, you might say, well, preacher, you're just preaching to me. No, I'm preaching myself. Listen, do we stand out? Do we stand apart? Are we ashamed of the gospel? There's a lot of us here this morning that's associated with sports. And before we play a ball game, do we call our kids in? It don't matter what color, creed, ethnicity. It don't matter where they're from, what their parents believe. We call our kids into a team huddle, put our hands in the middle and say, let's have a word of prayer and call on Jesus. Stand out. Don't be scared to stand out. Amen. Let me tell you something. I've tried my best. Listen, I believe this is a great outreach and ministry. Listen, there's a lot of you people, that coach a lot of different sports in here this morning. You are the only influence that some kids ever have. Take advantage of every opportunity you have with them children. They'll never forget you. We take advantage of what God has given us. Now listen, I promise I'm going to wind this thing up right here. I'm going to jump back to verse number 5. I know I've jumped completely off topic. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I tell you, this scripture speaks plainly to us. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me tell you this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to, and listen, and because everybody's got one, I want you to take, that point in time in your life, that deepest, darkest, abominable sin that you have ever done in your life. The things that you want to keep secret from your husband. The things you want to keep secret from your wife. The things you never want your children to find out about. That thing in your heart that you hope nobody ever understands. Let me tell you something. That, in that point, in that moment of your life, is exactly when Jesus died for you. Amen. He didn't die for the preacher. He didn't die for the deacon. He didn't die for the Sunday school teacher. He didn't die for the church member. He died for the sinner. And when he died for the sinner, he died in your sin. Amen. So I'm glad that that deepest, darkest part, that the most abominable and wicked sin that you hide and you keep trusted away in the corner of your heart and hope that nobody ever finds out about it. I'm glad that's what Calvary has rectified. Amen. Ain't God good? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to speak to that verse for just a minute. I know I'm boring you out of mind. I'm going to let you go home. Listen, the Bible tells us that when Moses was on Mount Sinai, that God gave him the commandments. Amen. You understand what a commandment is? A commandment. Now, listen, there's no negotiation about it. Amen. This is what it is. This is the righteousness of God. You follow it. If you break it, then you're a sinner. This is God's commandment. Now, listen, I want you to understand what Calvary was. But God commendeth. He didn't command his love. He commended his love. What does the word commend mean? It means he offered. Amen. Calvary was an offering. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, the law is a command. Calvary is an offering. And an offering is no good if it's never received. Amen. You wake up on Christmas morning, you walk inside your living room, you look under the Christmas tree, and you see everything sitting there. If you never go put your hands on it, it's never yours. That's what I tried to preach on last Sunday. Friends, listen, Calvary is finished. Calvary's not wasted. Because Calvary is finished and salvation is complete. Listen, there's a lot of people, in the last 2 weeks, I've had to do a lot of repenting in the eyes of God. Because there's been a lot of things that I've probably said over the years that I preached from the pulpit, which was uneducated and unlearned, and that's my fault, because the Bible said there was a time when God winked on ignorance, but now he requires all men everywhere to repent. Amen. Listen, ignorance is not an excuse anymore. The grace of God, listen, Titus 2:11, the Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath now appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust. We should walk soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for the great God and glorious appearing of our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you something. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore. The Bible has required us. And listen, if we've been saved by the grace of God, the Scripture requires us to study. Listen, fervently, the Bible requires of us to pray with fervence. Amen. The Bible requires of us to love with fervence, to show our humility and to show our meekness. And that doesn't mean to cower down, but that means to boldly proclaim the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to wind up. But if we walk in the light, listen to this. I just want to get this done right here. I don't want to leave things undone and broken this morning. Verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Listen, when we were saved, if you are saved this morning, the first thing you were saved from was the penalty of your sin. What is the penalty of your sin? Hell. So if you're saved, truly born again, saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been saved, you are saved from the penalty of your sin, which is death and hell. Listen, we've conquered them all through God's salvation. Amen. So there is no fear. Listen, there is no fear of the penalty of sin. Amen. Because we've been saved. Now, listen, I want to take you over here. I just want to read this briefly in Romans chapter number 6, the power. There's a lot of Christians do not exercise our power in salvation. And because we don't exercise our power in salvation, we don't have power over sin. Preacher, you telling me that I can live sinless in this world? I didn't say that you could live sinless, but I will say this, the crutches and the vices and the fixes that we have in our life can be overcome. Amen? Preacher, I can't quit drinking.
Preacher, I can't quit doing this. Preacher, I can't quit doing this. I'm telling you what, listen to me, and you've heard me say this before. If you grab a shovel and you go to kill a snake, you don't cut its tail off. Amen. It'll still bite you. I'm telling you, if you kill a snake, you cut its head off. And that's the only way you can bring your sin into subjection is grab it by the head and take it to Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read this. But what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Listen to this. That grace may abound. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us which were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ who was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you're saved, you don't have to live under the influence of the power of sin. Amen. Well, I tell you, if this is the part of salvation, I wish that we could listen to this broadcast worldwide. Listen, there's so many people that's caught up in vices. You've experienced these things just as well as I have. I tell you what, friends, listen, it's a sad shape. It really is. It's a sad shape to see somebody who wants help, but they can't help themselves. It's sad because of the struggles of sin. But you know what? We as the church, we don't want to look at them. We treat them like lepers. Amen? Don't look at them. You get over there until you get everything right. I'll be here when you get back. You see what Christ wants us to do. He said, bear you one another's burdens, and so doing you fulfill the law of Christ. You know what Jesus wants us to do? He wants to help each other. He wants us, and I said to the men the other night at the Wild Game Supper, every person in the church, you need to have an accountability partner. If it's your wife, it's your wife. If it's your husband, that's fine. If it's one of your closest friends, everybody needs to be held accountable by somebody. And if you got somebody that'll hold you accountable, when you get into a corner of your life and you say, you get into a corner of your life and there's a choice and there's a decision before you, and you know that if you make this decision, it's life-altering and life-changing, ain't you glad you've got somebody? And I know Jesus is always there, but don't you know that we have somebody we can go to, and a brother or a sister in Christ, and say, I need help. How many times in your life have you needed help, but you felt like you could not talk to anybody? Amen. This is what the church is for. We need to quit executing judgment and start offering help. Amen. Because everybody needs somebody. We don't know what people's going through, but we need to open our ears and we need to open our hearts of understanding when people are suffering through things that we cannot even fathom nor imagine, and offer a bended ear of help. We don't need to execute judgment on them and tell them what they need to do. What we need to do is pray with them. Listen, in the scripture, and get down in humility and pray that God gives them the grace to make the right choice. Amen. That's what we need. How many times, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm telling you, there's been a lot of times in my life I thought, boy, I just wish I had somebody to talk to. Just somebody that I could share my heart with that wouldn't look down on me and judge me for what's going through my mind. Let me tell you something. We're all sinful creatures. You know what separates us from hell? Jesus. Not you, not your choices, not your goodness, not your righteousness. The only thing that separates you from hell is Jesus. Lower the nose down a little. You see, the greatest mistake a Christian can ever make is to forget where he came from. You know, after we get saved, we get righteous and we get holy. It does us a lot of good sometimes to look back and remember who we was. Amen. Get that right, Eddie? It does us a lot of good to look back sometime, remember who we was, and thank God that we are where we are now. And when we start having that kind of attitude, then we can start leading other people to Jesus, because we're not executing judgment. We're just looking back at the people who are the way that we used to be, and we can share Jesus with them. Amen. So we're saved from the penalty, which is sin. We can have power. And one of these days, we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. Why? Because we've been saved. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:50. And I'll close with this. Y'all come on to the piano with a song. He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and we shall be caught up, and we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality, this corruptible must put on incorruption. So when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, so then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory in the end. Amen. Stay the course. Encourage one another. Help one another. I want to encourage, listen, I believe this in my heart. You know what will make Silver City Church bigger, better, and stronger? You find somebody in this church that you can confide in. And when I mean confide in, I'm not talking about get up on the telephone and as soon as you hang up, they've done called five people. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, that's why people don't have enough confidence to confide in somebody. It's because people won't keep their mouth shut. People need help, and they are relying on you to keep it confidential. Amen. You find that person in your life. You have a prayer partner. You call them. You text them daily. Pray for me about this. Will you pray for me about this? Read this scripture. Study this. I'm telling you, it's a help. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if I get 10 text messages from somebody tomorrow. Listen, I'll try my best to respond. Everybody needs somebody. Find somebody. Because that's the only way you'll grow. Stand to your feet this morning.